Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Father God, we pray today, God, that we would listen to why you have a calling on our life. God, why you want to use us, why the word of God needs to go forth, why this time that we are in today is so important for us to be light in the community, why it's so important to not just blend in, but to speak truth boldly with love, because people are dying and going to hell in the masses, and God, the time is drawing near, and the time is drawing short, and God, we need to be about your business today. And God, I pray you would just continue to charge us. God, continue to push us, continue to prod us, and do whatever it takes for us to realize that, God, you have a calling on each one of our lives. And you have a purpose. And that purpose is not earthly. And that calling is not earthly. It's spiritual. It's eternal. It's heavenly. And God, that should blow our mind. So, God, we're thankful for who you are. God, we're thankful for just allowing us to gather in your word today. We pray you're glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to see three things in our text today. And we're going to look at three things out of these four verses. And I'm going to give them to you right now so you can write them down in case you miss them. But the first one is we're going to see preach, right? I have three P words. We have preach in verse 2. We have prepare in verse 3 through 4. And we have produce in verse 5. And here's the thing, as the church, as believers, as children of God, we should be in the business of seeing lives changed. We can't change lives, but we should be in the business of seeing lives changed. And we can do something about it, because here's the thing, yes, God has preserved his word for thousands of years, and we have it in our hand, in our own language, perfectly preserved for us, right? And you know what? We can just go set Bibles and porta potties and bathrooms and gas stations and tracks and all of this and just set it out there and hope that people pick it up. And you know what? People do sometimes, and they come to know Jesus through that. But the thing is, God gave us a voice. God gave us more than just hands and feet, right? Anybody, and it's okay to leave tracks and do all of that, right? But he's given us a voice, and he's given us a purpose to take his word and voice it. Because that's hard, right? It's hard for us. We should be in the business, not in our own actions, but by God working in and through his people, using what he gives us to change others, to see others changed. And to be a blessing in this, that's the thing. For us to be able to be used by the one true king is such a blessing. And here's the thing, the fruit is low-hanging, right? The fruit, we're in it right now. It's not a coincidence that it's harvest season, right? The harvest is drawing close to an end, but man, the fruit is so low hanging and it's ripe. Right now is the time to go pluck it because, man, it's so good. In John chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are 4 months and then come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." Look out, right? Open your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. The problem with us, the problem with man, is that we think that we know something. Well, they're just not ready to hear the gospel yet. They're not ready to receive what you've told me to take to them, God. And he's like, listen, open your stinking eyes. Open your eyes. I wouldn't send you somewhere that I didn't think that, you know what, they weren't ready. Mankind is ready. There's no greater time to preach the gospel than today. So point one is preach, right? Preach the word, Paul says. Not that Timothy wasn't preaching the word, but man, we need to be reminded to preach the word, because oftentimes we preach the weather. We preach the sports. We preach what's going on in our lives, right? Because preaching is not just right here, right? Preaching is what comes out of your mouth. There's some great preachers that never preach God's word, but man, they can talk. I talked to one this weekend. I'm going to share a story about this here in a little bit. There's an action that Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to be doing, and that action is preaching. The word preach is not an action that only comes from the pulpit, though. Like I said, the word preach is also called proclaim, teach, spread, expound, explain, make known, deliver, inform, a public crier. All of these involve our voice, the voice that God gives us. Sometimes we use the voice to preach things that we ought not, right? All of us have probably been there before, and we're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Or we're prideful, and we're like, they need to hear that, right? If they would just listen to my preaching. And what Paul is telling Timothy here to preach a very direct thing. He didn't just say, preach. Timothy, preach. No, he says, preach the word. Preach the word of God to the people, because that's what they need. Oftentimes, people come rolling up into your lives and they want to just cry on your shoulder and they want to just tell you about all their problems and all the bad things or even good things that are going on in their life. And they want you to just comfort them through whatever conversation, right? But as children of God, we are commanded, we are told to, man, be a deliverer of the gospel. And oftentimes when people come rolling up in your lives and want to cry on your shoulder, they are not looking for you to deliver that to them. They're not looking for you to preach the word. They're looking for you to preach some kind of comfort or some kind of, oh, you're going to be okay. So it's, man, it's one faith step after the other in our life, right? We have to take one faith step after the other. So when a door opens and somebody comes into your life, we have a choice to make. Are we going to engage in this conversation the way that they intend for us to? Or are we going to engage in this conversation the way that God intends for us to do it? And that's a hard step for us to take because we're locked up and we're like, I can't do it. I can't move. I can't speak. I can't do anything because I don't want to offend these folks. I want to make a friend with them. And you know what? We should build relationships to get the gospel. But when God kicks open a door and he's like, man, they're right here. Get the gospel out. Get the word of God out. And Timothy's being reminded, hey, preach the word, because there's some in your church that don't want you to preach the word. They want you to just do whatever. So preach the word. Make sure that you're focused on that. Not your opinion, not your ideas, not a watered-down gospel, but the pure word that he has given to us. We do not... Here's the problem is that mankind is spending a numerous amount of time trying to change God's word so that it fits the people. So that, well, we need to change this because this could offend someone or they won't understand this, so we need to change the wording. No, God has preserved this for us. Right here in the King James Bible, this is how he intended it for us in our language, perfectly preserved. There's no reason for us to change it, right? There's no reason for us to dumb it down to mankind. No, we need to learn. We need to understand that God will show us exactly what he has through it. No need to alter it to our audience. We just need to know... and make sure that we are spreading truth and nothing but the truth. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, it says this. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said, therefore, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's so many gospels floating around today. Turn the TV on Sunday mornings when you're not feeling well and need to stay home from church. You're going to see some other gospels being preached. Believe in Jesus Christ and your life will be blessed beyond measure, right? Believe in Jesus Christ and you'll get everything that you want. My Bible doesn't say that. God's going to change us. And you know what? He does bless us with eternal life, right? And anything else that comes along with that's just a bonus. But that's not what God intends. He wants to save us from dying and going to hell and spend an eternity there. And he desires for us to have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's what, man, when we place our faith and trust in, that is when we're saved. That is the gospel. Paul directly addresses an issue in the church here, right? He's like, listen, if there's some other stuff that you're hearing, man, don't listen to that garbage. And some of you are, and you need to stop. people don't want to hear the true gospel because it involves sin. Right? Our sin is what separates us from God. And if anybody's preaching some gospel that doesn't involve you're a sinner separated from God because of your sin, and the only way to be reconciled back to him is through your faith in the gospel, the gospel's offensive, right? To reject the gospel message is the same as rejecting God. Those that say, I believe in God. Have you ever believed the gospel? No. Then you're rejecting God and you don't believe in God. And that's hard. Man, that's hard. It's hard to say. And it's hard to hear. Because you cannot believe in God and not believe the gospel. It's impossible. There's some that thought that they had heard a better gospel, one that fit their agenda better. There were some that were troubled, confused. Why? Because the word of God was not being preached purely. And that causes confusion, right? When you begin to change God's word, it causes confusion. And then there begins to be utter chaos. And this is what was going on then. That's what is going on today. There's so many different gospels that don't come from God's word. So this is why Paul reminds Timothy in our text today, hey, preach the word. Remain focused on what is true. Don't allow man to dictate what you're going to say when you're going to say it. Allow God to dictate that. Because Timothy was called to be a proclaimer, and he was called to proclaim the truth. And Paul was about God's business, and that is the word of God and the souls of men, and that's what believers should be about, is the word of God and souls of men. And those are the only two things that are eternal. So we need to be focused on that and use our lives to impact that. And Timothy was called to do the same thing. And that is why Paul starts right off with the main thing, right? He could have used this in a different order, but this is how God intended for Paul to lay this out in this letter to his brother Timothy. To first, number one, right? Number one, you need to preach the word. Because oftentimes, right, we have these three things, preach, prepare, and produce, and we want to switch those orders around, right? We want to see the product without doing the work. We want to see the result of what is going to come if I do this, right? That's what we want. Prove to me that if I do this, this is what's going to happen. And the thing is, God has already proved that if we would open our eyes, right? If we would open our eyes and look around, not everyone in this world is lost, dying, and going to hell. God has saved so many souls because people, men of God, women of God, have been faithful to do this one thing, which is to preach the word, and God changes lives. He goes on to tell him to, hey, be instant. Be at the ready, even without notice, right? He says, preach the word, be instant in season. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a situation that we may not know what to do or what to say, but it doesn't have to be this way. This is why Paul told us back in chapter 2, verse 15. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Get prepared. Study the word so that we're ready, so that we can be instant in season and out of season, right? He says, hey, listen, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? Your man's opinion? No, the word of truth. Study the word is what Paul is reminding Timothy to do. Study my word is what God is reminding us to do. You cannot be instant in season and out of season with God's word if you do not spend time yourself laying your eyeballs, opening your heart, allowing God to speak to us through his word. Man, you're not going to be ready. You won't. We've got to physically do something about it. We have to spend time in God's word studying that thing, or we will not be ready. We will not see opportunities, or we will see opportunities and we'll run the other way because we're like, yeah, I don't have an answer for that. And you know what? There's going to be so many things that happen in our life that we're not going to have an answer to, but we have the answer. And if we were humble enough to say, listen, I don't know the answer to that, but I know where I can go study and find the answer to that, and then I'll come back to you. But don't use that as a crutch every time somebody asks you a question, right? Get prepared, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Spend time being ready, okay? Because a lot of the questions that the lost world is going to ask you, we should know, We should know about those. Some are going to try to get us to stumble and fall, but just be humble. There's going to be times that we know what's coming. This in-season part of the verse, we've prepared for certain conversations, counseling sessions, or visits with folks. We're at the ready because we knew it was what was coming. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If you're a child of God and somebody asks you why you believe in God, why you have a relationship with Him, why you're changed, and you can't answer that, something, it's a red flag. That should be like red flag, red flashing lights in front of you, like something's wrong. Why can't I tell somebody why I don't believe in God? Why can't I give an answer to that? Right? Not because you locked up because of nervousness, but you should understand personally why you believe in God, why you have hope in Him, why your faith is placed solely in Him alone. Right? That's like slow pitch softball right there to you. You should be able to answer that question. If you can't answer that question, come talk to me after service. We need to get that worked out. We need to understand why. Oh, man, why can't I be ready to give an answer of that? I want to share a story. I'm not a big story sharer, but I want to share a story with you guys about my Friday night this week. This is fresh. And some of you guys know that I came out of retirement in slow pitch softball. I said I'm never playing this again because I'm too competitive and I don't want to get hurt and blah, 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 blah. Then we moved to Clinton and God opened a door for me to begin to play softball again. One, I needed exercise because when you move to Clinton, obviously, you get bigger in my case. But two, I didn't just say yes immediately. I'm like, I need to make sure that this is something that God wants me to do because I don't want to go and tear my hamstring or be a fool, right? I don't want to have a bad testimony. If any of you all have ever played slow pitch softball, unless it was church league, it's very worldly. There's not a whole lot of light in the softball community. But I can tell you one thing, I love it, and I am very competitive, and I hate to lose. But this weekend, this weekend we had an opportunity with this team that I'm on to be in a tournament, and it's called a Worlds tournament. There was 250 some teams in this tournament, and I thought, wow, what are we getting ourselves into? A bunch of yuppies from Clinton. But so we roll up to this place, and it was like something that you see on TV, right? I'm like, this is crazy. This is all turf fields. It was just like, this is going to be awesome. And, it was going to be very easy for me to just blend in and just do my job, play my position, hit the ball, do whatever it was. And between our first and second game, we had some time. And there was a couple people on our team that I hadn't met and didn't know. So I used that opportunity to get to know my teammates, and there was a man that, of many words, we'll say that. He was from southern Tennessee. He had a very Tennessee accent, and he liked to talk, and I thought, what have I done? I'm never going to get out of this conversation. But you know what? I just listened to him. I listened to his story, and this man had been through so many things in the past couple years. He'd lost his mother, one of his daughters, his brother, and had lost everything that he owned, and his life was just in complete shambles. And he said, so what do you do, right? In the midst of this, him telling me all this, he's like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, well, I'm a carpenter, but I'm a pastor. And sometimes when you say that, that abruptly stops the conversation, right? Like, oh, never mind. But it just opened a door that I was like, man, praise the Lord. This is why I'm in this community of people, right? Jesus was friends of sinners, right? He placed himself in the midst of lost people. Why? So that he could proclaim God's truth, so that he could be a living example of, man, only through a relationship with me can you have eternal life. And so here I find myself, and I've had many opportunities since I've started playing again, but I find myself, this guy, he says, oh, really? He's like, I have a question for you. I'm like, let her rip. And he said, why do you think, this is after he told me everything that happened in his life. He said, why do you think people turn their back on the church? Why do you think people turn their back on God? And I'm like, can I be honest with you? I said, it's because of people. It's not because of God. It's because of people. People blame it on God. God did this and didn't do that. No, it's because of the people. Because of hypocrites, because of carnal Christians, right? People turn away from God and turn away from Christ because people are not loving people with the truth. They're not sharing God's word with them. They're not there for them when things are going crazy. And this man had a testimony of he grew up in church. He was in the church choir. His mom and dad, they were traveling singers and all of this. And so God used that open door right there for, because he's like, man, I'm a good person. I give, I help people out and all of this. And I just don't understand why all of this is happening in my life. And, you know, it was so hard for me to utter the words that, you know what, it's sin in your life. Because I knew that that conversation could go south so quickly if I just called it out for what it was. Because mankind looks to blame something besides themselves, something besides their own actions. And I said, your works, your good works, your giving and all of that, that's great. But aside from a personal relationship with Jesus, man, because of your sin that's driving a wedge between you and God, that's what's wrong. And I didn't lead this guy to the Lord, and he claims to be a believer, and you know what, that's between him and God. But just the opportunity to just speak truth in the midst of this giant tournament that people were doing things that weren't so good, right? It's awful. There's a lot of drinking, and you know, people say, why do you put yourself in that situation? Because of this, because of one soul, because of one relationship that I could build through the power of God that only he could do. Because you know what? If I wouldn't have went, this guy wouldn't have got truth. He wouldn't have heard about needing to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or maybe being reminded that you know what? Or my sin, my actions, man, the giving can't outweigh that. I can't give enough to have a relationship with God. So I say all that to say, man, every opportunity that we have, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, I had to be instant. I had to be instant. I had to give him what I had, right? I couldn't say, well, let me go read my Bible for 10 minutes. I'll come back and talk to you. No, I had to rely on what God had instilled in me through his word and allow the Holy Spirit to. And there's so much more to this story, but for the sake of time, man, just be ready. Be ready to do that. But what about those times that we can't see? You know what? I couldn't see this coming. I couldn't. But this is why I joined the softball community again, to be a light in the midst of darkness. I play on a team with 12 of us, and I am the only believer on the team. And every single person on my team knows we have a pastor on our team, right? And when we go to places or go to different towns to play, people are like, what are you doing? why are you hanging out with these people? You're a pastor. Why are you playing softball with these? And man, because that's what God told me to do. And that, you know what? I've not seen any fruit out of this yet, but that doesn't mean anything, right? Because we're planting those seeds. Planting those seeds and planting those seeds and being a good testimony, right? Not blending in, right? You know how many times people are like, hey, you want a beer? And I'm like, no, man, God delivered me from that so many years ago, right? So many years ago. That's a trap. And he wants to deliver them as well. So those times that we can't see, those out of season times, what do we do then? These are the hard times, the ones that may sneak up on us when we haven't prepared. But here's the thing, preparation is key. As Christians, we must be prepared by being in the word and prayer, like I said. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. Because he didn't do the work. It's what we do in the quiet, idle times that matter. So we are instant out of season. Those times when the farmer's planting the seeds in the spring, just having hope and faith that God will bring the water. Planting thousands of dollars worth of seeds into the ground, knowing that, you know what? These may never, ever sprout. I may never even see fruit from this. But by faith, that farmer puts the seeds in the ground, plants them, works the soil, plants them, and by faith, hopes to the end of season in October that, you know what, there'll be a harvest there. The same goes for us as Christians. We plant God's word into people's lives, right? Even out of season times, hoping and having faith. You know what? God's at work. And one day there'll be a harvest. Paul tells Timothy, be ready for both. Be ready instant in season and out of season. And one may seem easier than the others, but we got to prepare for both. The ones that we know about, the ones we don't know about. And then there's three things that Paul points out here in the verse. We got to get moving. That Paul tells Timothy to be instant in season and out of season with. He says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You know, reprove is to call out sin. To tell someone a fault. To scold or correct, usually gently or with kindly intents. Sin is sin, church. We must not justify it or blame it on others or something else. Because sin is sin. And Proverbs 29:15, let me read this to you real quick. Proverbs 29:15. It says this. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If we do not call sin, sin, if we not reproof, if we do not do this, then what's going to happen? It says it bringeth his mother shame. Church, it's our job to call out our brothers and sisters. It's our job when we're sharing the gospel to say, you're a sinner. You're lost, dying, and going to hell. Your sin is what's separating you from eternal life. Your sin is what's separating you from relationship with Jesus, right? From the beginning, Adam and Eve, right? In the garden, what happened? They sinned. Boom, passed on to mankind. Nothing that we could do about it except for, man, repent and believe in Jesus. And then there's rebuke. It's to criticize sharply, an expression of strong disapproval, to reprimand, to discipline. Not fun, right? But must be done for spiritual growth. It's no one finds pleasure in disciplining their children, right? You shouldn't, but you should, okay? I know it's like, what? It's not pleasurable to discipline your child because it's just not something that we should look forward to doing. But if you don't discipline your child, man, there's fruit of that as well, right? Craziness, do whatever they want, end up wherever, who knows what's going to happen. Discipline, not fun, but must be done for spiritual growth to happen. In 1 Timothy 5:20, right? Let me read that real quick. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that are in sin, rebuke before all, that also others also may fear. We need to make sure that we're, man, there's discipline. There's consequences for sin. Not to make a fool out of people, but man, call sin what it is. Get it out. Because that sin that we hold in and hide deep, right? Man, it's going to be like a canker. It's going to eat us and eat us and eat us and eat us. But one day, that sin, be sure to know that sin will find you out, right? It's going to come to the surface. And man, the quicker that we get it out and get it dealt with, man, the better things are going to be. And just as a child lies to their parents, right? I know you're lying to me. I'm not lying to you. And then, you know what? Eventually, if they are, that truth is going to find them out. And then there's exhort. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3:13. It says this, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So to exhort is to encourage, to nudge, to prod. Some people have the spiritual gift of exhortation. It's a good one to have. One that lifts people up, encourages them to do things, and pushes them to their best. He goes on, and it was to be done through what? Long-suffering and doctrine. It was going to take a great patience to be displayed by Timothy to see the Word of God go to work in those lives that he was dealing with. But the Word is the most powerful force and can and will accomplish what it wills. He was to teach the Word and let God be God. He couldn't change anyone, but he knew that God could. And Paul was reminding Timothy of this, and Paul was exhorting Timothy to keep on doing the work of the Lord, even in the midst of hard times. You know, he was sure to tell him that things weren't going to get any easier. So he needed to remain focused. And our second point is to prepare in verse 4 and 5. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and in verse 3 and 4. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And we got to be prepared for this. We preach the word, right? Because this is what's going on. This is the result of the times. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Man, we have got to be prepared with God's word to take it to these people. Because there's going to come a time when we're not able to do that. There's going to come a time when we're not going to have an opportunity. There's going to come a time when their hearts are so hardened that we're not going to be able to do it. We have to be prepared. And you know what? There's a lot of things that we spend a great time in our day is preparing for. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about something I prepare for every day, other than God's word, right? Preparing for opportunities. But physically, I was looking for an example, and I thought about every night before I go to bed, I prepare for my next morning, okay? And I do this for two reasons. One, for selfish reasons, so that I don't forget to put my socks on the next morning. But two, so that I don't just disrupt my wife's sleep the next morning. So the night before, I take all of my clothes that I'm going to wear, and I take them into our bathroom, and I place them there, right? Make sure that I have all the items I need, because mornings are weird, right, when I'm getting dressed. So, but I do this in the light. I prepare in the light. I turn my bedroom light on. I go in. I get my jeans and socks and all of the things that I need, and I take them, and I prepare while I can see. Because in the morning time, out of respect for my wife, I don't flip the light on, right? And out of safety for my own life, I don't flip the light on. So I prepare. I'm loud. Right? And you know what? I'd like to say that I do this perfectly every night, but I don't, because some morning I have a dresser that has the loudest clanging on the drawers, and I wake Annie. But when I prepare, when it's light in the room, I have no issues. The same goes for us spiritually too, though, because we must prepare while we can see. We must prepare while we can see for the things that we may not see coming later. Good preparation produces a good product. Right? Think about your job. If you work, if you have a job, good preparation for the task that is going to be at hand will produce a lot better product than if you just wing it. Okay? Some of us are really good at winging it, but if we would take 5 minutes and prepare, the result will come easier and it will be a better product. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." In order to prepare, we must be alert. We do not prepare by being a fool or not being alert. We prepare because we have faith that what we are preparing for will happen. Okay? Just as I prepare for my morning the night before, I don't know for sure that it will come. Okay? Who knows what could happen in those hours that I'm sleeping? I could not wake up. Jesus could come back. Hallelujah. Or, you know what? Who knows? There could be a fire in the middle of the night, and I don't get to go get my clothes on the next morning. But I prepare each night for the next morning, because I have faith in that it's coming. I can't see it, right? We can't see that. The same goes for us spiritually. So what is Paul telling Timothy to prepare for? He says that the time will come. There will be a day that Timothy will face something. Though he was dealing with many things, things were only going to get worse. The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure pure words of God. They will not endure the teaching of his word. Endure means to put up with. There will come a time that people will not put up with people teaching God's word. Think we're dealing with that today? How many people have turned their backs on God? How many will not hear or give ear to the truth? This may discourage us, but I want us to be encouraged, because we're still here, okay? And just as I had an opportunity with a man this weekend that had turned his back on God, he listened. His heart was softened, right? And who knows what God's going to do with those seeds. We should be encouraged by this, church. We should be encouraged by the opportunities that we have each day. And man, we should be convicted by the opportunities that we let slip by, okay? That we don't do something, that we don't open our mouth, we don't speak truth, we don't speak pure doctrine, Because there's going to come a time when we don't have those opportunities anymore. When God doesn't just kick the door wide open and somebody comes and sits down and listens to you for 30, 45 minutes. Those times are drawing to an end. And we are living in a time, man, where the fruit is low, it's ripe, and we need to be alert and ready. And there's no greater time for a Christian to be alive than today. Because God still has a plan for us, and he's choosing to use us to spread his word to the world. Though some may reject it, it's okay, right? It's not our job to worry about all that. But pick and choose who's going to accept it and who's not. We just get to be the messenger, the preacher, the proclaimer. And Timothy was going to face some difficult situations coming at him, and he could handle it in a couple ways. The flesh versus the spirit, we talk about this all the time, right? One's going to be easier to handle it than the other, and you know what? Sometimes we instantly go to the flesh because that's just our go-to, and man, the results are not good. So Timothy and us need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for these times, right, that are coming, where the people are not going to endure it. They're going to, after their own lusts, they're heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to go to whoever will make them feel good. Give me a message that will make me feel good. Give me something that I want to hear, right? And you can get on the internet and you can listen to anything you want if you type it in the right way. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We must prepare for not just the persecution, but how we will combat that persecution. We don't fight fire with fire. We fight fire with love. We preach God's word out of love, right? So that if they will not endure sound doctrine, then what will they endure? What will they accept? And it goes on, like I just read, they shall turn their ears from truth and will be... And they'll turn to something, and that's something that satisfies the itch that their ears have, something that's hard for us to hear. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear the truth, let alone accept it. So these that we're seeing here today are rejecting the truth completely and running to something that will make them feel good, a good motivational speaker, an easy on the ears preacher on TV, one that doesn't talk about sin, never dealing with the issue of man. Because the word of God, it offends the flesh, and the flesh does not like it. So the flesh rages out like a 2-year-old that had too much Halloween candy, throwing a fit until they get what they want, right? They just keep nagging and nagging and nagging and crying and throwing a fit and temper tantrums, and eventually they get what they want. It says they'll turn unto fables. A fable is likened unto a fictional story. The thing with fictional stories is that they have no truth in them. Or do they? Some fictional truths have a little bit of truth sprinkled into them. That's what's dangerous about fictional stories, is they sprinkle a little bit of truth in there because our ears are itchy, right? And you're like, ooh, and I'm not saying don't read fictional books. So I'm not saying that. But what I'm talking about here is false doctrine. That's what we're talking about. That's the problem with today, right? Is that it's so dangerous because there's so many things that are easy on the ears or even easy on the eyes that we're like, we give an ear to. And we don't want to be likened unto these folks. They'll turn their ears from truth and shall be turned unto these fictional stories with a little bit of truth sprinkled into them to get them drawn away from the truth. That's the problem. But the truth that's in those fictional stories is not enough to offend people. These false preachers that Timothy was dealing with were doing just this. They were not preaching the truth, preaching and teaching the truth, but they were just close enough. They had just enough that they could draw others away from really what was true. They were those ear ticklers, the preachers that taught what the hearers wanted to hear. People are running from the truth because they don't like to be changed, right? They don't like to be called out. They don't like the pain to the flesh. They don't want the word to be changing what is going on in their lives. And when we preach the word of God, okay, preach the word and prepare. When we preach the word, we better be prepared for the fruit, and we better be prepared that there's going to be people that don't want to hear it, okay, because they've turned away. These times that we're living in, the time that shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but the time now is good. The time, man, we need to be prepared for that. And number three, we'll wrap this up, is produce. When we preach the word of God and prepare for those folks that will turn away and run from the truth, or the ones that run to it, because not everybody runs from it, guys. When we do that, when we stay focused on our calling and not let the commotion around us become a distraction, when we walk by faith, when we live our lives by faith, this will produce something. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. You're like, what is that talking about produce? When things get rough and crazy, what do we run to? Who do we turn to? What helps us in times of need? The text says that we must be watchful. We must have open eyes. But watch, he says. Eyes open, eyes fixed on the prize. And we must endure affliction. So what do we do when things get tough? What do we do when we're under attack? What we keep doing what we're called to do. That's what we do. We keep doing what we're called to do. It ends with do the work of an evangelist, make full fruit of the ministry. We keep doing what we have been doing. We stay on track. We stay focused. We allow God to bring the product, right? When we do the work, when we do our role, right? When we do that, there's going to be a product that comes from that. Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. This will produce fruit, church. Those kisses from God, like I got this weekend. It's like the biggest smooch on the lips, right? Some of us like kissing, right? With your spouses, right? It's like, oh, man, that's amazing. And then when we get that big kiss from God, right? Like, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, where you're supposed to be doing it. That's what, man, be ready for the opportunities because, oh, what a joy it brings. You know what? During that 30 or 45 minutes, I completely forgot about why we were in Liberty, Missouri, why there was thousands of people around us, because I was like, this is why we're here. This is why you have me here, God. So that we can just do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. And you know what? Something about New Life is it's amazing. I love our church. We're involved. We're focused on the mission. We're making full proof of the ministry. Joe's not here this morning. I was going to call Joe out. Maybe he'll listen. But he said something last week, and he said, you know what? We may be small, but man, we're mighty. We're mighty. Why? Because of the one we serve. That's why. God doesn't look at our size numbers, right? He doesn't count. He just wants to make sure that we're focused on what we're called to do. And man, we are awesome. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. So we need to be preaching God's word, preparing for those opportunities that we have. And man, there's going to be a product that comes because when we do that, it will produce something. When we do the work of an evangelist, right? Every single person here today can do the work of an evangelist. We're not all Billy Graham, okay? We're not all Ganesh from India, and some of you guys don't know who that is. We're not all just like amazing evangelists, but we all have a voice, and we all have God's word, and we all, if we're saved today, we should be able to share the message of what saved us, right? And we need to be doing that. So we need to, man, just keep glorifying God. But that times are just going to continue to get more and more difficult, right? We read about it all the time. For the times will come, right? Things are you're going to suffer more persecution, this and that. What about today? What are we doing about it today? Are we preaching God's word today? Are we doing the work of an evangelist? Are we making full proof of the ministry? Are we listening to what Paul's telling Timothy here and what God is telling us? I hope so. Let's pray together.